There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
Thank you once again for tuning into the Wednesday edition of the podcast. We certainly are thankful for the goodness of the Lord, His protection, His watch care. And I want to be a servant of the Lord. I want, as the psalmist says many times, these next couple of sections of the Psalm 119, I want to be a servant. Consider thy servant, O Lord. And I believe that we could say that with unfeigned lips if it were true, that we are truly servants of the Most High God. Whatever He needs from us, we're willing to do. And regardless of our exhaustion, regardless of our carnalities, regardless of our flesh, and I mean carnality in the sense of giving into the flesh, being prone to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And yet we can be servants of the Most High God. The psalmist said that so many times. He was a servant of God, a man after God's own heart. And I believe that you and I could get there. I believe we can walk there. I believe we can live there if we're willing to live in that place. And so let's consider servitude. And Lord willing, the McVeighs will be at the Dublin Mills Community Church, and that's a King James Bible teaching and preaching church in Dublin Mills, Pennsylvania. We'll be there at 10:30, I believe it is, Lord willing, on this coming Sunday. And how we thank the Lord for that opportunity. It'll be good to see the folks there. And so pray for us. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll be back up north in Shingle House, Pennsylvania. And I talked to the pastor yesterday. We're going to add Thursday Bible study to the agenda. And so we'll have Thursday Bible study begin the 9th of February, and then run to Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with services. And then, Lord willing, stay up in Western New York for another week and just preach, teach, see what the Lord is going to do. Now, as we look at Psalm 119, I would like to clarify something. There's probably some folks saying, well, he's just ignorant. And, well, I am ignorant in some ways, in many ways. One of the reasons I have not focused on pronunciation of the Hebrew alphabet, one, I didn't take Hebrew class. And secondly, I could go on Google just like you, and I could go on YouTube, and I could find pronunciation, and I could go in there and say these words, and I could butcher them with Dachleth, and Becht, and Chich, and Rival, and Chich. I'm not mocking, but that's the guttural sounds. It's not my native tongue. So as it's written in my King James Bible, I have not chosen to guttural sound them, but rather just try to give you a English pronunciation for understanding. And today we're going to be in Ayin and Peh, and that's pretty simple. And I don't have a guttural language. I don't have the depth of that language naturally. I could fake it, but that would be just as fake as anything I've ever taught in this podcast. And so again, we're in Psalm 119. We're in verse 121. We're going to go through verse 136 on today's podcast. Lord willing, by the end of the week, we'll be pretty close to finishing up Psalm 119 and be able to go through some of the shorter psalms then, clear up to Psalm 135 or so in the next couple of weeks. And so he's saying, Ain, and that's in verse 121, I have done judgment and injustice, leave me not to mine oppressors. And so again, when the psalmist says that there, is he speaking of himself? That's what we look at in Messianic Psalms. That's what we looked at all through these scriptures. That's what we looked at all through these scriptures. And so we have to look at this. When he says, be surety for thy servant, for goodness, let not the proud oppress me. So be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Again, two statements in one verse. Every verse in Psalm 119 is that way. Every verse is written that way. And so as I look at these, again, I don't necessarily see Jesus Christ, although he was a great servant of God. But I never understood where Jesus Christ asked for understanding. And that's one of the reasons I don't believe this particular section is according to that. And then also in verse 130, then thy word giveth light. And he says, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted. So again, we go down to verse 130, verse 131. We can see that as Jesus Christ. We can see, behold, I thirst. That's when he's panting on the cross. And so you can make a case for that, not dogmatically necessarily, although if somebody has more information on that, I'd be glad to listen to it. But in these next eight verses, at verse 121 through verse 120, and I believe the psalmist is just writing here concerning his relationship with God. He is a servant of God. He has done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. There is a time in your Christian life that you'll know you did right. And you'll know you walked in righteousness. You'll know that you made right choices. You'll know that holiness abounded in decisions that you made. You can know these things according to the word of God. And you don't have to say it with arrogance. You don't have to say it with any kind of pride, but just the reality of knowing you've done justice and judgment. And I believe every one of us can be there. That's the admonition today. Really, the focus of this podcast today is that you and I can walk in the judgments of God and know that they're right judgments and walk under the shadow of his wings and walk in true holiness. I've made the statement for years that I am a sinless perfectionist. And boy, people get all bent out of shape about that. Immediately they run to the hills and it's been gossiped and lied on and about me. But what I say when I say that is I've never obtained it, but I certainly am trying to. And he that suffers in the flesh ceases from sin. And so why would the word of God tell us that? There comes a point of suffering that there's no longer pleasure for your sin. You can be in that place. And we ought to want to be in that place, but know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Yet that's foreign to people today. They say, oh, you're preaching heresy. We sin every day in word, thought, and deed. They take something that's not a scriptural precept, not a scriptural law, and they make it a man-made principle. Therefore, a lot of people take that because I'm going to sin. I may as well go ahead and get it out of the way rather than walking in justice and judgment, rather than know that the proud oppresses. But he said, be surety for thy servant for good. And the Lord is going to be that surety. That's an absolute. It's guaranteed. The Lord has that confidence. He will have that bond with you if you're willing to walk in his judgments and his justice. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. And it's interesting there because really prophetically, I believe when we go to the temple and we see Simeon holding the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, behold, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. That's what he's referencing there. And so it does come to pass, but the psalmist has not seen it. His eyes have failed of his salvation. And then John told us that he not only saw him, but he looked upon him with his eyes. And so we know that salvation has come in the person of Jesus Christ. Someone asked us recently, what's the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles? And I explained the difference. What's the difference between Christianity and Judaism? And I said, one is still looking for a Messiah, which is to come. Their eyes have failed of the salvation. And the others are looking back at thy salvation, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we believe in our hearts that he is the Son of God and that he and he only has salvation. And so not only did Simeon see him with his eyes and behold his salvation, John told us he also looked upon his salvation. And for the word of thy righteousness, he said, that's Jesus Christ. Verse 124, deal with thy servant according to thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. And by the way, you can ask for God to deal with you according to his mercy when you are his servant. I think it's a lot of times that we would fear for God to truly deal with us where we are because we're not in servitude to him. And then he says also that I may know thy testimonies in verse 125. Why? Because I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. And so he wants to learn his statutes. He wants to know his testimonies. Again, why? We talked about this in an earlier podcast, that he may hide these things in his heart that doesn't sin against God. And that is a great testimony in and of itself. It's a great word in and of itself. God is holy. God is just. And if we have that testimony that we walk with God as Enoch walked with God, you and I may have that testimony. It is time for thee, Lord, verse 126 now, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. So many people are looking for riches. They're looking for that love of money today. It is the root of all evil. It's not wrong to have money. It's wrong to covet after money. It's not wrong to work for money. It's not wrong to charge people for your labor. The workman is definitely worthy of what his hire is. And if you have a unique skill, then charge for that unique skill. But covetousness not ever take a place in your life. Covetousness not ever dictate those things in your life. Because he said he loved his commandments above gold, yea, than fine gold. There is something better than gold. I've always told the saints of God, and I believe I can say this with all integrity of my heart, you know, if the Lord is going to bless us with more, there's times we have needs. Right now, the McVeighs are this week are supposed to be putting a heat pump in, but the Lord has provided. We have the money sitting in a bank account for our new heat pump here at the house. We needed tires, and we're supposed to have tires put on this week as well. And yet the Lord has provided for us. We've already paid for those tires. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How we thank him that we have the money to put those tires on the van. And tires last us about a year and a half. That's all they last. Oil changes, because we use full synthetic, oil changes last about 3 months. And that's just something we factor in. And so there's times we need a little bit of gold. We need a little bit of silver. But yet when we ask for those things, it's never to consume upon our own lust. It's to consume it for others, that we might be a help to others, that we might consider others above our own needs, consider the things of God above our own needs and our own wants and our own desires. Every child of God needs to be in that place. I told a dear friend of ours, he may be listening today, he listens to the podcast. I told him he needed to scrimp and save and buy and sell and learn how to make about $1,500. And not touch it. I told him, I said, you scrimp, you save, you do what you can, you sell stuff, you labor, whatever you can do legally and ethically and with Christian values, and get about $1,500. And he looked at me like a deer in the headlights. And brother, if you're listening now, you know you did. But I told him this, I said, and then give it away and learn that it's not for you. Learn that there's something far more precious than gold, far more precious than the wealth that this world has. And it's the words of God. It's the very commandments of God. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. And yet, the psalmist loved God's way. He loved the gold of the word of God, not the gold of riches, not the gold of wealth. When David wrote these psalms, many times as the servant of God in Messianic Psalms and other psalms, he would talk about wealth, and David had tremendous wealth. He had unbelievable wealth, yet he loved the Lord. He had riches beyond our comprehension, yet he loved the Lord. And one of the blessings upon God's children in the Old Testament, Abraham had great herds and great flocks. He was a very rich man. Job was a very rich man. David was a very rich man. We see that in the scriptures. We see that in the word of God. It was one of the blessings of God, but the servants of the Lord that obeyed the laws of God could receive those blessings without covetousness. And there's very few people today that can do that. I mean, their wealth becomes their high tower. They get up in the balustrades of their high tower looking for enemies and looking for those that are trying to steal their wealth, not realizing that the wealth may not be for them. It may be for others. The riches God's invested with them are for other people. In verse 129, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. They are wonderful. The testimonies of Jesus Christ, the testimonies of the Word of God. Wonderful how God just ministers to us. And I love in the scriptures how the Lord Jesus Christ praises God. He rejoices in the goodness of God. And the Old Testament saints praised the Lord while they had a testimony. And God would publish those testimonies. That's the word of God. Hannah had a wonderful testimony. Ruth had a wonderful testimony. Rahab had a wonderful testimony. These are the testimonies of the Lord. It's not just their testimony. This is God's testimony, what he's done for them. Verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. So again, men are in darkness. When they walk in darkness, they lie. They do not the truth. They say they walk in the light, but yet so many today walk in darkness. They have no idea that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They have a vague Christianity, a vague form of Christianity. It's all about riches. It's all about gain. It's all about covetousness. It's all about what they have or what they've obtained. And there's no concept that outside of that is darkness. It's absolute darkness. They walk in darkness. All they see is the glitter of jewels, the glitter of gold. They do not see the precious jewel that is Jesus Christ. They do not see that pearl of great price. They do not see the value in this walk with God. All they see is the value in the things of this world. And so the entrance of thy word giveth light. And then he said, he giveth understanding unto the simple. And can you imagine, especially being a religious zealot, some of you that listen were religious zealots. And all of a sudden, God throws the light switch on in your soul, and you realize, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. What a difference this is going to make in my life. The light has come on. I have understanding. I have a great need. All this has been vanity up to this point, but now the word of God has entered into my life. I opened my mouth, and I panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Again, the thirsting, the hungry, the thirsting. Look thou upon me. And be merciful unto me as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. So again, he's asking for mercy as he's always done to those that love his name. And God is merciful. God's been merciful to me and my family. Thank God for that. When we didn't even love him, he was merciful to us. When we didn't really consider him in our decisions, consider him in our lives, how about since we've been married and had children, make decisions in the flesh, make decisions in carnality, make decisions in our whims and our ideals, yet God's still merciful. Imagine if we love him and walk with him, how merciful God could be to us, how God's the safest place to be. It's right there next to the Lord. Can two walk together except they be agreed? So verse 133 says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down my eyes, because they keep not thy law. What is he speaking about? When your eyes look upon things that ought not to see, when your eyes do not obey the law of God, that lust of the eyes takes, oh, he said, the waters just run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. The grief of sinning against God, the grief of having that iniquity in your life and having that besetting sin in your life, and the things that God is trying to reveal, the things you've been found out about, all the grief and the sorrow and how the tears come. And you know what that is? It's when God begins to stir in your heart and God reveals himself through the word of God. Where are the tears today? We know Jesus Christ watered his couch with tears. He was that man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He asked the Lord to put his tears in thy bottle. Why? Because the tears that ran down when he was made sin for us. When's the last time you wept over your own condition? When's the last time you just got alone with God and wept over your own sin? That's what the psalmist is talking about. That's why I believe it's personal. I believe this is a man speaking. I believe this is the psalmist speaking when he saw his own ways and he realized that his eyes have sinned, how he wept and how the tears came. And so it ought to be with the saints of God. We're not going to get help from God until we weep over our own being, our own condition. Weep over the condition of others. Weep over the condition of our loved ones. And one of the great things I hear all the time is, don't you have a burden for somebody? Don't you have a burden for somebody? But do you realize until you get yourself where you need to be with God, you can't have a burden for other people. Until you get your life in line with his, you can't have a burden for others. Until you're walking with God and walking in the fullness of the Holy Ghost and have no sin in your life and have no iniquity in your life and keep that account short with God, you cannot have a burden for other people. Like everything else today, we get the cart ahead of the horse. Rather than deal with the personal things, it's like, hey, go soul winning, go soul winning, go soul winning. But you would be a soul winner if you were right with God. You would care about people if you were right with God. But rather, we try to get everything else first. So why don't you do this? Why don't you just humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? Put yourself in a corner somewhere. Put your face in the carpet for a change. Let your family see you weep. Let your children see you weep. Realize you've offended a holy God and just get some things right with God. Settle these things with God forever for the glory of God. This is a slightly different podcast today, but the Lord knew these things. Have a great day.
There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord. As he cries for forgiveness and mercy, God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVey. For correspondence, please contact us through our website and someevangelist.com. And use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine Evangelist Tim McVey on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manasseh Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania, 17006. Thank you for listening, And we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home, and the saints all with gladness are singing.